Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We're going to read a few of these scriptures. And then I feel like God's given me something to encourage us here tonight. I feel like God's given us some promises, and we're going to look at some of these. And you can know that God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. So it's of faith by grace that there's the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God has the ability to speak to situations and lives and circumstances. It looks like there's no way possible that it could work out. He calls things that are not as though they were and says, I'm going to change this. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, this is talk about Abraham, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Everybody say that's for us. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Tonight I want to talk to us about this topic, this subject of the faith of Abraham. Of the faith of Abraham. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray that God would just speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your promises and your goodness. I pray that you would let your hand work and move in this service, Lord. I pray that you would send your angels to minister in this house. And I pray that you'd help us as we draw near to you, Lord, draw near to us. Let your word speak to us, encourage us, strengthen us, Lord. Help us to be everything you've called us to be. And we give you the praise and the glory for it tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated tonight. As we read in those verses tonight, there are some promises. There are some promises of faith and by grace to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So think today about how many promises. How many promises are made every single day? There are numerous, countless business contracts that are signed every single day. People that sell things one to another, and there's husbands and wives making promises to one another. Parents promising things to their children. Children promising things to the parents. I'll clean my room up after school. Or people making promises to themselves. At the beginning of the year, a lot of people made New Year's resolutions, promising to begin new habits or to end old ones. And now that it's February, a lot of those promises have gone out the window. You've heard the statement, promises made and promises kept. Maybe you've heard this one too. Promises are made to be broken. Anybody ever heard that one? The dictionary defines a promise as a declaration that something will or will not be done by someone. It's an assurance, an agreement. It's a commitment or a guarantee. But the reality is, a promise is only as good as the one making that promise. A lot of times people who make promises, they're just not able to keep them. No matter how hard they try, they've overpromised and underdelivered. I remember my uncle one time talking about someone saying, well, it's kind of, you know, they're just one of those people that they promise a cruise ship, but they can't even deliver a canoe. And I don't know if that was just his saying or what, but someone can really promise the world. They can just promise anything, but then things happen. And sometimes we just don't know if we can really trust what they've promised us. Solomon talked about promises in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. He said, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay thou that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So we should be careful about making vows to God. And we should be, just make sure that we're serious about doing it and able to do it. If we've broken a vow or a promise to the Lord, we should repent of that and do what we can to make it right. God takes promises seriously. And we can't really trust promises that are made by man. But we can trust what God has promised. Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 1, verse 2, he said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God that cannot lie. Eternal life is not a wish, but it's something that we hope for, knowing that it's not something just of wishful thinking, but this is a promise from God who cannot lie. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And that's why we can all say amen to God for his glory, because there's no question about it. When God makes a promise, he will come through. Amen. When God makes a vow, it will be paid. Every promise he makes, he will fulfill it. We can truly stand firm on the promises of God. What about that old song? Now, we don't sing this much anymore, so you might think it's a new song, but standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Y'all remember that one? Verse 2 says, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. It's a good one. That's a good one. I've come to preach to somebody here tonight. Maybe there's been a lot of promises that have been made to you in this life. Maybe by people who have let you down. They've broken their promises. They've not come through for you like they said they would. They've left you when they should have been there for you. They hurt you when they should have been good to you. Maybe even they abused you when they should have loved you. And I understand it can be hard to trust sometimes when we've been mistreated and hurt and abused by people that broke their promises. But there is one that we can trust. There is one that we can put our faith in. And if he promises us something, it will happen. If he gives us a vow, he will stick to it. We can trust in Jesus. We can stand on his word. We can believe his promises. We can live according to the promises of God. Hallelujah. When the storms of life of doubt and fear assail us, when we're faced with uncertain circumstances, when all seem to have forsaken us and we don't know what to do, we can stand firm on the promises of God. I've come to tell somebody tonight, when the attack of the enemy comes and he's trying to destroy us and trying to sweep us away, one of our best defenses against the attack of Satan is to quote the promises of God to him. When the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, each time Jesus responded with, "It is written." And then he quoted a promise in the Word of God. Satan may be able to stand against a lot of things, but he cannot stand against the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to brush off the dust and get out your sword. Amen. You need to open the Word of God. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart. You need to know what this Word means. You need to know what it says, because that's how we're going to overcome the attack of the enemy. We're going to quote the promises of God. Satan, I know that you're trying to destroy me, but God has promised he's going to keep me. He'll never fail me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I can trust in the Lord, and I'm going to quote the promises of God. If we know that we're under spiritual attack, you know, sometimes you need to be wise about this. We need to learn this. Sometimes we can tell if that spiritual attack is especially strong in our life. How do you tell that? Well, there's confusion all around. God's not the author of confusion. Okay? If you're dealing with confusion, well, it's just confusing. And could be it's a spiritual thing you're going through. People are acting crazy. It may not just be people. You may be dealing with spiritual things. We're feeling depressed or frustrated. We just want to quit church, or we want to stop serving, and we just want to just get a bad attitude. And we know we shouldn't, but we just want to get a bad attitude. You know, you ever been there? It could be a spiritual attack. If we know that we're under a spiritual attack, we need to make special time to pull out our sword. And we start reading the Word of God, and we can quote it to the enemy. We can sing the Word of God. We can pray the Word of God. We can speak it by faith over a situation, over our family, whatever the need might be. Amen. Psalm 119 and 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." When things are uncertain all around us, the Word of God is what we stand upon. It's forever settled in heaven. From the very beginning of creation, God has made promises to man. One of the first and greatest promises that he made was that there would be a coming Messiah. Brother Dylan Morgan preached a little bit about this last week, but God told the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So God knew what he was doing all along. In that moment when Adam and Eve fell, and it seemed like Satan had won, God had a plan. God had a plan. And he promised that there was coming a day when there would be a Savior who would crush Satan with a mortal wound. It was many generations before that came to pass and happened, but God kept his promise. Amen. Abraham is known as the friend of God. And he trusted God. He trusted God. And because he did, God made some great promises to Abraham. Reading in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." In just three verses right here, we see this short encounter between Abraham and God makes seven promises to his friend. He says, I'll make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Another time, God gave Abraham even more promises. Genesis 13 and 14 tells us. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. How incredible, all of these promises that God gave Abraham. And that's why Israel has been so blessed throughout history. They're just a very small nation there in the Middle East, but God has blessed them and God has kept them. And at times it seemed like the whole world has been against them, but they've had the promises of God on their side. And that's really all we need. We may not have all the money that we think we need, and we may be small in number, and we may not have all the resources that we'd like to have, but even if the whole world is against us, if God is on our side, come on, if God is on our side, if his word is telling us what to do, if we have the promises of God, that's all we need. That's what we can stand on. That's what we can believe. That's what we can proclaim. Hey, we're going to make it. We're going to come through this. We're trusting the word of God. How do we know that his promises are for us? We know he gave promises to Abraham, to the children of Israel. He promised David things in the Bible, Solomon things, the prophets, his disciples, the New Testament church. There were promises to them. But what about us? Where do we fit in with all of this? What promises are we able to claim for ourselves? After all, we're Gentiles. For the most part, I believe we're probably all Gentiles. We're not the children of Israel. We aren't descendants from Abraham's bloodline. Or are we? Maybe the greatest promise that Abraham ever had was that he would be the father of many nations. Read with me in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. It says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. He promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He would be exceeding fruitful. He promised to make nations of him, and kings would come out of him. That word nations there, it comes from the Hebrew word, which is pronounced maybe goi. Goi, and it is a word that describes foreign nations. So God's talking about those who are non-Hebrew people, Gentiles. He's saying, I'm going to make of you these nations, Gentile nations. Furthermore, it's interesting, God used the plural form. He didn't say just a nation, but nations. And through the bride of Jesus Christ, Abraham is the father of many nations. John, writing about heaven in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Oh, I wonder today, is anybody thankful that Jesus loves all the little children of the world? Hallelujah. All the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, every nation, they're precious in his sight. Come on, I want to tell you, every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation, anyone can be part of the kingdom of God, be part of the bride of Christ, the people of God. Not only did Abraham receive many promises, but he also believed God that those promises would come to pass. He had unprecedented faith. And that caused, the Bible says, that caused God to declare Abraham was righteous. We read in our text today, Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't ever waver. Okay, you get that, you kind of see that picture of God gives him a promise and he's like, that would be staggering, you know, oh God, how could you ever do that? No, that's not what he did. He believed God. He trusted God. He did not let unbelief waver him or move him, but he was strong in faith. Even when God tested him and said, I want you to take your only son and give him a sacrifice, he trusted that God had a plan. There may be times that whatever God is doing, it just seems like, God, this is crazy. What in the world do you have planned? How are you working? And it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't add up the way you're doing things, God. And God, are you really paying attention to me down here? Do you really know what you're doing right now? Because where you've got me at and what you're taking me through, it surely doesn't seem to make sense. But Abraham staggered not. He didn't waver with unbelief, but he was fully persuaded that whatever God promised, he was able to do it. I've come to preach to somebody here tonight that no matter how crazy your situation seems, no matter what you're going through and how impossible your circumstance might be right now, I've come to tell you, keep believing in God. Keep standing on his word. Keep having faith. Don't stagger at the promise of God. Don't waver at his promises, but just begin to trust him and say, Lord, I'm giving you praise because somehow you're going to take me through. Somehow you're going to make a way. Hallelujah. That faith that Abraham had, it caused God to declare him to be righteous. Here's why that matters to us. The next verse, Romans 4:23. Now it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So because of our faith and our trust in God, we get the same promises that Abraham got. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Trust caused Abraham to see God's promises come to pass. Now, he may not have seen it all happen in his lifetime, but he trusted God even in his death. Hebrews 11 and 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How exciting that we today, in this hour, in this age, we are now seeing some of those promises that God gave to Abraham even come to pass today. And if we'll trust in God, if we'll believe, if we'll stand on his word, if our faith will not waver, we will get the same promises that God gave to Abraham. Oh, what a blessing to be a part of the church. Oh, what a blessing to be a part of the bride of Christ. What a blessing to stand on the word of God that's forever settled. Oh, come on, somebody tonight, you need to realize we are a blessed people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And in our text tonight, we read that there's some promises of faith and by grace to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So faith has been passed down to us. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. Well, what measure is it? However much you need. However much you need. God knows what you're going to go through. God knows what you're going to face. God knows the time that your faith is going to be stretched, but he's given you the measure of however much faith you need. He's given you enough faith to make it through. Come on, let's not let our faith waver. Let's not let our faith stagger, but let's stretch our faith today. Through faith, we are made part of the descendants of Abraham, and we get those same promises, not because we're anybody on our own. It's just a gift from God. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's a gift of God. Amen. It's just the favor of God. It's just the blessings of God. We're not anybody. We're not something special. He just looked down and saw us in our trouble and in our problems and in our circumstance, and he said, "You know what? If they'll have faith in me, I can do something with them. If they'll just trust my word, I can do great things through their life." And that's when we looked up at him and said, "God, I don't know if you can use me, but if you can use me, I pray that you would do it for your glory, for your will, for your kingdom, Lord." We're of the same faith as of Abraham. We're part of those nations that God has promised would come from him. And we get the same promises. Amen. In your daily Bible reading, you need to start reading the Word of God personally. You need to start reading the Word of God personally. It wasn't just a promise that God made to Abraham or to Isaac or to Jacob or to David or the prophets. But those are our promises as well. Hallelujah. That'll change the way we read things. In the Word of God. You know, sometimes it can get, I understand there are certain books that are my favorite and some that are not, okay? And if you're trying to read through the Bible in a year, you're going to go through some of those. And there was one book, oh my goodness, I was like, "Lord, please." I think it was Jeremiah last year. I was like, "I am so depressed and I'm weeping along with Jeremiah just trying to get through this." But when you realize that the promises that God has given, those are not just empty things. Those are not just empty words, but those are things that we can claim and we can act on and we can live by. And when we realize that, the Word of God comes to life, and it'll change how we read things, like Deuteronomy chapter 28. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee." Amen. You need to realize these blessings are not just for Abraham's seed. These blessings are not just for the children of Israel, but we've got the same blessings and promises as well. "All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee." Can you get the picture of that in your mind? It's not just that we're going to get these blessings, but these blessings are going to come on you and overtake you. When God decides that he's going to bless, and it's almost like you can't outrun the blessings of God, but he's going to find you wherever you're at, and he's going to pour out his blessing in your life, and he's going to do his work in your family and in your community. "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command his blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Read this here, verse 9. "The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself." That's where we're God's people. "As he hath sworn unto thee, if you keep his commandments and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season. And here's how you start making this personal. Lord, I pray that you will bless all the work of my hand. Your word promises it, Lord. I stand on it here. And Lord, I believe I'm going to lend and not have to borrow. Come on, is there anybody you'd like to get rid of the credit cards in 2026? I just believe, I'm crazy enough to believe that if you're willing to trust the Lord, God will give you wisdom. He'll open a door. He'll begin to bless if you'll be faithful unto him. And verse 13, and Lord, you promised it in your word. I pray that you would make me the head and not the tail. Help me to be above only and not be beneath. And I'm going to follow the commandments of the Lord my God. You start to make it personal. You realize that was not just to the people of the children of Israel. That was not just to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's not just to the children of Israel. No, but that's to me here today, because I'm part of the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. I'm of the same faith that Abraham had. I'm of the same faith of the children of Israel. God's just carrying on his work today. We read the word and we claim those promises. Find you some special chapters of the Bible that just resonate with you and what you're going through. And then when you're depressed and you're in a spiritual battle, go find those chapters and start reading them. But read them with boldness. Read them with faith. Make them personal. Psalm chapter 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I won't be afraid but for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto me. And you start quoting the word of God and you start standing on the promises of God. What about Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17? No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that riseth against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And then you go over to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. God, you have given me power. You've given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so I'm walking into this situation. I'm walking into this uncomfortable job setting. I'm walking into this school. Whatever it is, I'm walking into this family crisis, and I'm going as the child of God. I'm going with the same faith that Abraham had, and you've given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. What about John chapter 14, verse 12? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works then these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you go to your time of prayer and you say, God, I'm reading the word right here. You said, if I asked anything in your name, that you would do it. And so, Lord, I've got to have a miracle. I've got to have an open door. I've got to have you to change some situations. I've got to have you to save my children. I've got to have you save my husband, save my wife. life, Lord. You said if I would ask it in your name that you would do it. So in Jesus' name, I ask it today, and I stand on the promise of God. What about this promise? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Maybe if somebody has come to the house of the Lord and they want to live for God and they've repented of their sins, they've honestly repented of their sins. They've turned away from wickedness. They're doing their best to live for God. If they've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but for whatever reason, they have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, they need to quote this scripture every single day. Lord, your word says if I would repent, if I'd be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that I shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I'm not going to let back. I'm not going to let go of that promise, but I'm going to ask that you would do it in my life. Lord, fill me. I want to have that promise, Lord. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's talking about you. That's talking about me. That's talking about every person in every corner of the world. It's a promise from God, and we can have the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Remember that? In Romans chapter 11, Paul talks about how some of the branches have been broken off because of unbelief. How tragic is that? Some of the branches have been broken off because of unbelief. And then read Romans chapter 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. If you've ever seen a plant, a tree that's grafted into another tree, sometimes it's not even the same tree. It can be two different kinds of trees sometimes. But the plant that's grafted in gets the blessing of the root system, all the nutrients and all the strength of that tree that was there before. By the grace of God, we have been grafted into the tree, the tree. We were just a wild olive tree. We were nothing special. We didn't deserve anything. But because of the grace of God, we get to partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. We get the same blessings that Abraham got. We get the same promises that David had. We get the same things that the children of Israel got to enjoy because we're of the faith of Abraham. I want to tell somebody, if God has always kept his promises, he'll keep his promises still today. But he's looking for someone that won't waver. He's looking for someone that won't stagger at the promises of God. He's looking for somebody to live by faith. It's not fun to live by faith. It's not fun to be stretched. It's not fun to have to walk by faith instead of walking by sight. I'd rather see exactly, Lord, the plan that you've got for me, and it's going to be this step and then that step and then this step, and that's going to take that, and then that's going to open that door, and then after that there's going to be this, and then wow, God, that's awesome. But that's not how God works sometimes. Sometimes he shows you kind of like half a step. Well, Lord, no, I need to know a little more before I step out on that limb. No, that's not how it works. He says, step out. And then sometimes you see another step. And then sometimes it might be two steps. And then all of a sudden there's no steps. What do I do now? You just stand. You just stand. God, I feel like I should be moving faster than this. I feel like there should be open doors for me. I feel like I've been stuck. I'm just walking by faith. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting God's word. I'm standing on his promises. I'm standing on his promises. I've come to preach to somebody in this house tonight that God has some promises for your life. He's got some miracles. He's got some blessings. And you may not even understand all of it, how it's coming together, but don't stagger at the promises of God. Don't let your faith waver, but you stand strong. You stand on God's word. You keep speaking the word of faith. You keep speaking the word of God, his promises over your life and over your children and over your family. You keep declaring the word of God over your finances. Amen. Don't stagger at the promise of God, but oh, let your faith be strong like Abraham. We're of the same faith as Abraham. God has given you the measure of faith. Amen. Hold to the word of God. Hold to the promises of God, and let's go through and let's see what God's going to do.